leaders meeting with a large number of people from Qom province. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a number of people from Qom province. The meeting took place in Tehran at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on Tuesday, 9th of January 2024, on the 46th anniversary of the historic uprising of the people of Qom against the oppressive Pahlavi regime. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of views expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a large number of people from Qom province on Tuesday, 9th of January 2024, on the 46th anniversary of the historic uprising of the people of Qom against the oppressive Pahlavi regime. Addressing the people, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "I want to talk about the power of the people and their role in influencing major events. This is something we must not forget. We have experienced this in our own times and in our own lives. Look at the situation in Gaza today. The role that the population of Gaza have played in influencing a major event must not be underestimated. They have remained steadfast and have not backed down. In other words, a small group, a limited number of people, a population of about 2 million people in a small strip of land, for example, have confounded the United States and the Israeli regime, which is hanging on to the United States. This is the power that comes from the people's presence on the scene." The leader asked rhetorically, "Well, what occurred in Qom in January of 1978 was even more significant, but why?" "Because on 9th of January 1978, the people of Qom took to the streets. Some were martyred, some of them were beaten, others were sent to prison. But they started a movement that eventually overthrew a dependent, arrogant, oppressive, domineering regime within the span of about 1 year. How long was the period from 9th of January 1978 to 11th of February 1979? This is the importance of people's presence in different areas." The leader added, "When there is this kind of power in the grip of a nation, why don't they appreciate this? And why don't they use this power? Why don't they use this in the face of major events and bring this out into the open? This is what I want to talk about today." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "This is what Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, taught us. Well, Imam Khomeini did many things that were exclusive to himself, and this was one of them. Without a doubt, and I say this with no exaggeration or embellishment, the Honorable Imam showed and taught the people that their presence on the scene can create miracles. We didn't know this, and neither did other people. During 1962 and 1963, the Imam showed this to the entire nation with his actions, with his words, logic and reasoning. He made people understand that if they want to move forward and if they wish to achieve the desired outcome, they must be proactive and present on the scene. Withdrawing, depending on others and isolating oneself are futile and get nowhere. They must come out into the open in the middle of the field. The Imam himself came out into the middle of the field as well. However, instead of spending time with various political parties, political groupings and factions or prominent political figures of the time, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, addressed ordinary people directly. On the day of Ashura in 1963, Imam Khomeini sat in the Faizier school in Qom and spoke to the people very clearly and openly and directly. dear brothers and sisters, the Imam's speech on that day of Ashura in 1963 was a historic event. He went to the Fazir school, which was swarming with people, and composed and delivered that unique speech. He practically brought the people onto the scene. Instead of addressing a certain political group or a certain political figure, he spoke his heart to the people and addressed them directly. The people responded and answered positively to the Imam. On 5th of June 1963, just 3 days after the Imam delivered his historic speech, the supporters of the Imam were beaten, killed and martyred in Qom, in Tehran and Varamin. Imam Khomeini himself was arrested on that day. They burst into his home, brought him to Tehran. However, the people did not forget this lesson. The events that took place on 9th of January 1978 in Qom were the continuation and the aftermath of this great event. On this day too, the people protested willingly and spontaneously. On 9th of January 1978, who was the leader who told the people to take to the streets and demonstrate? It was the people's hearts, their consensus, and the lesson that they had learned from the Imam back in 1963. They understood that they had to take part in demonstrations and protests. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, "The people took to the streets on 5th of June 1963 because Imam Khomeini had been arrested. And they took to the streets again on 9th of January 1978 because the Imam had been insulted. They entered the field, began the struggle, and the Almighty blessed this struggle. The Iranian nation rose up in various cities such as Qom, Tabriz, Yazd, Shiraz and everywhere. The Iranian nation rose up and the important and significant events of 11th of February 1979 took place. This is what the people's presence actually means." The Iranian nation ousted the oppressive Pahlavi regime from the country. Imam Khomeini was the one who placed this goal before the Iranian nation. So this was the strategic policy of the Honourable Imam, bringing the people into the field and handing over the battle flag over to the people. There is another strategic policy that is the opposite of this. What is that policy? Taking people out of the field and pulling people out of rivalry, competition and combat. That policy is the policy used by the enemies of the Islamic Revolution. That is the policy of the United States, the policy of the world powers, the policy of the Zionists, and the policy of the exploitative Zionist companies around the world. This policy has been operating in our country for 40 years. Today, this policy is active with the utmost disgrace. They are trying to take people out of the scene. You see them saying things like, "Should we participate in the elections? No, what's the point of it? This isn't something trivial. It is the United States' strategic policy. It is the strategic policy of the enemies of the Islamic Revolution." The enemy is extremely active and hard-working in this area. In this sense, they're very active. They have realized that the reason for Iran's progress, for Iran's prestige and honor, the honor that it has gained, its emergence from an important power in the region, its strategic depth. The resistance forces throughout this region are the Islamic Republic of Iran's strategic depth. The reason for all of these is the Iranian nation's active presence on the scene. If they impose a war, the enemy will be defeated in that war. If they start a coup d'etat, the coup d'etat will fail. If they carried out an attack on security, it will also fail. The reason is that the Iranian people are present on the scene. The enemy has been victorious in places where it has prevented the people's presence on the scene. This has been the case in various economic sectors. One of the strategies they have employed to remove people from the scene involves discouraging people about the future and dashing their hopes about the future. You can see this, how much the media that is affiliated and connected to the enemy is discouraging the people about their future. Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "One of the other tactics employed by the enemy is to highlight the shortcomings and challenges that exist in the economy. Well, we do have economic problems, of course. There is no doubt about it. There have been various weaknesses that have continued. Economic weaknesses, of course, exist, but the enemy highlights these weaknesses. However, if attention is given to a certain matter, it will be realized that most of these economic weaknesses stem from a lack of people's presence on the scene. These weaknesses have been less prevalent in areas where people have been present on the scene. Frightening people of the world powers is another strategy used to remove people from the scene. They make them afraid of the United States, the Zionist regime, and other world powers. This is why the Iranian nation has already demonstrated that it fears no one and no power. If we were afraid of a certain power, then the Islamic Republic of Iran would not exist, of course. In fact, many of the world powers that claim to dominate and rule this region now are fearful of the Iranian nation. One of the ways that is used to remove the people from being present on the scene is to cause them to lose their beliefs and principles. At the top of these factors is religious faith and religious law. They are busy and are spreading propaganda. They work on these. The enemy is busy working on these. Our officials must try in these areas as much as they can. Try to look at the issue of hijab in this light. The issue is not simply that some people do not understand or observe hijab. No, some people have a motive. Of course, it's a few people. These people have a motive of opposing and objecting to it. One of the problems is that they create discord and bipolarities between people. They want to polarize the population. There are two types of discourse. One is where two individuals disagree on something regarding a certain political issue or something that they like or dislike. They are friends, but they disagree on a certain subject. On the other hand, there are times when the disagreement is such that whenever anything comes from one side, whatever it may be, a thought, action, something good or something bad, it is condemned by the other side automatically. This is called bipolarity, when the population is polarized. They create bipolarities in society. Whatever the other side does, this side condemns it, even if it's something good. These are some of the tactics that are used by the enemies of the Islamic Revolution and the Iranian nation to take people out of the scene. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, "Both government officials and those who are active in political and cultural spheres should prepare the ground for people's active presence on the scene. I say this because the people's immense turnout on the fourth anniversary of the martyred general Qasem Soleimani is one of the reasons. The presence of the people in the marches and rallies on the 11th of February, the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, is another case in point, and their presence in pro-Palestinian International Quds Day rallies on the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is another occasion. The presence of the people on the 30th of December each year, the presence of the people during the various events for Days of God, and how their presence for the commemoration of Martyr Soleimani's martyrdom. People travelled from afar to visit Martyr Soleimani's grave. This tragic, sorrowful event took place, yet the following day the crowd continued to go there with the same fervour and the same strength and the same determination. So people are prepared. It is up to us to coordinate and organise this. We need help, pave the way and make the necessary preparations." Due to the sad, tragic events that took place in Kerman, the Iranian nation has become grief-stricken in the true sense of the word. We do not insist on accusing others, but we do insist on finding and crushing the true culprits of the explosions in Kerman. Our honourable officials are busy working on this, and I'm well aware of what they're doing. Turning to the situation in occupied Palestine and the Gaza Strip, the leader said, I would like to just talk a little bit about the situation in Gaza. The predictions that we made are gradually turning out to be true. From the beginning, the prediction of the clear-sighted people around the world, both here and elsewhere, was that the side will win is the Palestinian side. The Palestinian resistance will be victorious and the Zionist regime will be the loser. This is happening right now. Everyone is seeing this. The Zionist regime has been committing crimes for 3 months now. First of all, these crimes will always remain in history. Even after the disappearance of the Zionist regime, the people will not forget the crimes that they have committed. They will not be forgotten. On that day, when the Zionist regime will be wiped out from history, they will write in books that one day, a group rose to power in this region and committed these awful crimes, massacring thousands of children and women in a matter of weeks. They will write this and record this in history. Everyone will know that the patience of those people and the steadfastness of the Palestinian resistance forces eventually led to the retreat of the Zionist regime. The Zionist regime has failed to reach all of its goals after nearly 100 days of fighting. This means the defeat of the Zionists. They said they would destroy Hamas. They certainly have not. They said they would displace the Palestinians of Gaza. They have not achieved this. They said they will stand in the way of resistance's actions. They have not done so. The resistance is alive, energetic, and well prepared. The Zionist regime, on the other hand, is tired, abased, filled with regret, and has been marked as a criminal. This is the situation today. And this is a lesson for us all. The same stance must be continued, the stance of standing against oppression, standing against aggression, arrogance, and usurpation. This course of action needs to be continued. In final remarks, the leader wished God's blessings and mercy on all the audience and all those present.